When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
With me, Kevin, the Moscow Mush Milton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number, part of the Sports Social Network. This is episode 209, another two-game week to go over as we braved a cold Tuesday night in Stoke and lived to tell the tale. Then we returned home as we faced off against the struggling Rotherham side, where we somehow managed a point. To say it was frustrating was an understatement. Lots of possession, completely dominated. And we couldn't see them off, and we paid the price for it. Very disappointing end to what would have been a very good week, I suppose, with the news of Charlie Alcaraz and the Stoke win, and then we go in end the week like that. It's very, very difficult to see anything else now. But we have to award our player and goal of the month for September as well. With me to do all this is the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton and Tim Bazantz. Welcome along, guys.
Hey.
More than handy 3 points at the Bet365 Stadium. They seem quite a long way off now, don't they, Kev?
Yeah, Tuesday does seem quite distant, but it's been an all right week, I suppose. We've had worse, haven't we?
Oh, goodness, yes. Yes, we've had a lot worse. But yeah, as I say, it's just difficult with that game being the last thing. I suppose if the Rotherham game had been on the Tuesday and the Stoke one yesterday, it wouldn't have been so bad. It's just a bitter way to end it. Tim, we've got a week off next week. International break, so we can, you know, regroup. And then we've got a string of really, really nasty games, starting with that Hull game, who sit one place above us on goal difference. You'll be giving us a premature preview of our trip to the MKM Stadium. But yeah, well, good week, I suppose. Given the marks out of 10, what would you say?
7.
Yeah.
We don't need to be a 7 out of 10 though. We've really screwed it up the last September, and then from there we need to be able to build back into it. Because now, if you see the huge gap between Leicester and Ipswich, we're destined for the playoffs if we can even get to there. So for now, we need to be 9 out of 10 consistently. Through Christmas, through January, through February, because if not, we're going to get lapped and it's only going to get uglier. And if we even have any semblance of a chance, so this is kind of a I won't say heartbreaking, but really, really, really depressing in terms of not being able to close out a win against Rotherham.
Definitely. Yeah, that's the only thing I see at the moment. It's just it's hard to get around the disappointment of that. But, I mean, we held on against Stoke. I suppose we got a little bit lucky, didn't we, with the penalty decision, which I'm sure VAR would have overturned. But focus on the win. Defensively, we were sorted in that game. I mean, Bazunu as well did everything that was asked of him. And a truly wonderful, wonderful goal from the magic boot of Stuart Ward-Prowse. And a clean sheet, the first since Man United back in March. So, yeah, Kev, that Stoke game, it wasn't... We rode our luck at times.
Stuart Ward-Prowse, I like him. Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was a lot less eventful than the Rotherham game. There's a lot less going on. So you have to come away with 3 points on that. God, do we have to keep saying it? Cold, wet Tuesday night in Stoke. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I bet Stoke fans must be so bored of that by now. Like every single team.
But yeah, Tim, the Rotherham game is definitely not viewed as a point gained. It's a massive opportunity missed and a game that it should have seen us in the playoff places. And it's just everyone was walking away yesterday feeling like it was a defeat. But we have to remember it was a point still.
Yeah, I wanted to say that we lost it 1-0 and they won it 1-0.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that for them? They're coming away with a victory, really, aren't they?
they needed anything to go their way because they're destined for relegation. And so for us to be able to give up 2 points, yes, I understand why you're like, oh, it's still a point. But these are the teams that we need to beat. These are the teams we need to close against. We need to feel comfortable in these games because when you do play the Sunderland, the Blackburn, I mean, even the West Broms, you're going to have that little edginess where they can definitely take the chance. Whereas for your QPR, your Sheffield Wednesday, your Rotherham, you need to beat them and you need to beat them handily and feel comfortable because if not, the goal is promotion. And if you cannot feel comfortable going into a game expecting to win and coming out with what feels like a loss to me, I'm just not very happy with how it turned out.
Definitely not. And on the way home, I said to the people that I was with that this is the easiest game of the season. I know you've still got Sheffield Wednesday at home, but I think Rotherham at home is the easiest game of the season. And if you're not winning that handsomely, then there's a problem. And that's what it feels like. It's just, yeah, you just look at this afterwards at the end of the season and think, oh, you know, we missed out on a couple of points there. That was massive because you know that, you know, teams like Leicester and even Ipswich at the moment, Preston, whoever else is up there, they're going to be taking 3 points against Rotherham. And Rotherham haven't actually picked up a point on the road, have they? So, yeah, very, very disappointing. And again, that Stoke result just seems like so far away with this that's just happened. But anyway, we have to move on. Join our Discord, please. Get in touch if you're interested in chatting amongst fellow friendly. Would you say we're friendly in there?
Yeah, we're actually our group. Yeah, definitely.
Good. Yeah, friendly, passionate Saints fans. I mean, yeah, you can join them with our predictions, game chats, various fantasy football leagues. And if you're interested, then you only need to contact us through our various means of communication. That's email, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Somebody will be on hand to get you in. Right, ITN News.
This is ITN In That Number News.
Okay, then, ITN News. The first bit of news is that the best bit of news, I suppose, is Charlie Alcaraz. Well, there's two bits of news on him, but firstly, called up to the Argentina squad. Championship players rarely get called up, but Saints players rarely get called up, but by the world champions as well. So, yeah, it's great. Congratulations to Charlie. And Tim, you know, we were discussing this in the week, and you brought up the point that, well, you asked the question, is it the only Argentinian player to be called up whilst playing for Saints?
That is correct. It is.
It is, yeah. I found that hard to believe because I was like, no, there must be more. There's got to be more. So then I was like tracing back through the years thinking, oh, I'm sure there's somebody that we've missed. Yeah, Gazzaniga got his only cap while he was at Spurs. Willy Caballero got all his caps while he was at Chelsea. And Guido Carrillo, well, I mean, he was never going to get called up, was he? But that's a bit. There was only a couple more. There was a couple of loanees. You got like Marcelo Sarmiento, who never actually got on the field in his 6 months for Saints, let alone noticed by Argentina. And then likewise for Federico Arias, who spent 3 months on loan here and it also never got on the field. I find it hard to believe that Alcaraz is the only one.
I find it hard to believe that he's been called up at all, to be honest.
As in you don't agree with it? Or you?
No, I don't think he doesn't deserve it, but I'm just surprised that, you know, with all the players that Argentina have got, they called up a player from the championship. I mean, it's great news. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. He definitely deserves it, but kind of came out of nowhere.
And that myth of Gareth Southgate not selecting James Ward-Prowse because of Saints players has gone, because he's still not selecting him when he started so well for West Ham. So basically, he just doesn't like James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's great news. It's great news. But even better news, I guess, is the contract extension for Alcaraz. 1 year extension, making it 5 years. And so, yeah, 10 months after his initial deal. What did you make of it, Kev? Because there are parties suggesting that we nailed him down so we could make sure we get a better price for him in January or next summer. Or, you know, is this a statement from the club saying that we want to keep hold of our best players and we're giving him the wage that fully warrants his prestige with the club?
Yeah, maybe slight pay rise and also sticking in a hefty sell-on clause, you know.
Is that the way you see it? Is that you?
Maybe. Yeah, I think they're saying that it might be his last season with Saints, so might as well make the most out of him.
I think if we don't go up, then he's gone, isn't he? And I think there is a clause in there that says that if we don't go up, then he gets to go. I mean, we don't know the ins and outs of that. But Tim, how did you see the contract? Did you see it as a good bit of business from the club, or did you see it as the fact that they just want to become that selling club that we clearly are and they still deny?
I think it's an advantage for both parties involved. So for us, we get a little bit more security. We get the opportunity to, you know, with an extra year, there's going to be extra value if he does want to be sold on later on in January or in the calendar year, in the summertime. And then probably for him, yeah, he gets that pay. He might, and we don't know if they have that relegation clause, or not a relegation, but not going up clause, or like a release clause. Yeah. So if we don't have a release clause and state that, if you get a 15 million pound bid or 20 million pound bid, you're guaranteed, and as long as you want to go, we're going to accept it. So it could be there. And for him, you know, it's only one more year. So I think it's more of that security factor. And he's shown dedication. He's shown interest in being here. So, you know, a big smiley guy, 20 years old, really has an opportunity to flourish even more, especially under the wing of Russell Martin.
Kevin, yeah, everyone's favorite Welshman, Nathan Jones, is favorite for the Sheffield Wednesday job. Woo! Shock.
They've already slowly announced it, by the way. It's not for Nathan Jones.
Oh, is it Neil Warnock?
No, it's the understudy of Ralph Hasenhüttl.
Danny Roll.
Yeah, Danny Roll is going to be announced as the manager.
Yeah, well, those two, Nathan Jones and Danny Roll, were the top in the week when I saw it. And then when I looked at it later on in the week, it was obviously Neil Warnock because, well, that's what Neil Warnock does. He just tops everything like that. But Danny Roll.
Especially Yorkshire clubs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was, I thought that was going to be nailed on then, but no, obviously not. And Nathan Jones still hasn't got a job then, but yeah. Stephen Davis. Have you heard his news in the week?
Yeah. Interim Rangers manager. Yeah.
This is good, isn't it? Hmm. I mean, they're playing right now, aren't they?
They just won, too. St. Mirren away.
Sign him up. Keep him there. They did. They won 3-0. Yeah, and I wonder if Thierry Small was playing.
Is he a player manager?
Thierry Small was on the bench. He's player manager. Yeah, interim player manager. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
I don't see that
very often, do you?
No, not anymore. Right. And news in the week as well, that Itchen Bridge being renamed, or hoping to be renamed to the Laurie McMenemy Bridge, or the Laurie McMenemy Itchen Bridge. It's not going to happen, is it? It's never going
to
happen.
Well, I've seen a separate campaign to rename the part of Britannia Road that St Mary's Stadium stands on to the Laurie McMenemy Way or whatever. It's not completely out of the question, but it'd be great to do it whilst he's still alive.
Oh, definitely. Do something for him. Good news. Ross Stewart and Jack Stevens, they're nearing returns. And the former is said to be training at Staplewood on his own, doing a few little things, I guess. And this international break is good timing for him. I know we say that all the time. This is a good time for this. But, yeah, no, this is perfect for Ross Stewart. personally, and maybe we might see him before the month is out. I think maybe the whole one's a little bit too soon. Lone watch. Lewis Payne, his Newport County side, they lost 2-1 at home to Harrogate. He picked up an assist, though, for the Newport goal, and he'd only been on the field for 5 minutes, so that was
excellent.
Excellent introduction for him. Don Ballard's Reading. He went to the Six Fields on Tuesday night. An unfortunate 2-1 loss to Northampton, but he came off the bench in the 66th minute and scored his first league goal. So that's brilliant. Continuing to impress on whatever level he's in. And I always have a look at Paulo Onuachu to see how he's getting on, but they lost and he didn't score. Under-21s then. They played on Wednesday at the Snows in the International Cup, and they played Lyon. And it was an exciting opening match in that competition. It was a 7-goal thriller. We came out on the wrong side just 4-3. So we were 3-0 down, scored our first through a Batcherman in the 71st minute. Tyler Dibbling then scored a double on the 80th and 82nd to level it up, only for Lyon to get the winner 3 minutes into injury time. So, yeah, desperately unlucky. And they had 60% possession in that game as well. So that kind of that is filtering down to the under-21s as well. And the next match is Wolves away on Monday the 30th. The women are currently playing right now against Watford, and they are 1-0 up. Sophia Farrow scored in the 19th minute, so that's good. After that 3-1 loss last week, that was a very, very bad day. I don't know what that was, because Birmingham have been struggling, and I guess we're underestimating them, kind of like what Saints did to Rotherham, especially in that second half. Emily Kraft scored a consolation 97th minute, but yeah, 3-1 loss to Birmingham last week. And lastly from me, the under-18s, West Ham, they played on Saturday and they drew 2-2 at Staplewood. Nick Oyakunle, another 2 goals. So, yeah, he's banging in the goals. I think he's got 5 goals in 3 games now. So excellent scoring run for him. And they play Reading away next on Saturday the 21st. Kevin, you speak now, because we've got the player and goal of the month to award for that amazing month that was September.
Wonderful month, September. I know. There's the other highlight here and there, wasn't there?
The
game rounded it off quite well. Actually gave us some goals to choose from. So, yeah, we'll start with player of the month. Our options were Kyle Walker-Peters, Adam Armstrong, Will Smallbone, and Jan Bednarek. And, Adam Armstrong just about gets it, 47% over Walker-Peters, 33%. Nobody might go to Smallbone, at least on Twitter. Was it like on Instagram?
Do you know what? I was looking at those. He got 0% of the votes, and I thought, The only reason that he's in this poll was because Kev made him man of the match twice in the month.
I made him man of the match, yeah.
So he picked up 8% of the votes on Instagram.
Okay.
But Adam Armstrong then picked up 68% of the votes on Instagram. So to only come away with 47% of the votes on Twitter, that's quite harsh, because I think he was the only standout in September, really.
Yeah, like Suleimana towards the end. Alcaraz a little bit. Yeah, I think we're the only consistently decent player has been Adama. I mean, you'd have to say so, wouldn't you? For the goal of the month, 3 Adam Armstrong goals to choose from, plus Smallbone's against Leeds. Adam Armstrong's first goal against Leeds grabs it with 55% of the vote.
Yeah, that was the chip, wasn't it? That was the little dink over Melier. And I was disappointed that the second one didn't get it, because I much prefer to see Sam Barham on his ass, twisting back
eating the grass.
And then that angle. Tim, which one did you vote for?
I voted for the Adam Armstrong dink over the Meslier.
So that's the one that won it, the first one. Mm. Yeah, I was going for the second, but yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Will Smallbone, that was a good finish as well, the one that he dinked in off the post. That only got 5% of the votes. So. Unlucky. But yeah, so Adam Armstrong wins both then, player and goal of the month for September, as he did in August.
Wow.
He's running away with it. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, then. So we'll go into that Stoke game then. A win to talk about. A brilliant win. Stuart Armstrong, or are we going to call him Stuart Ward-Prowse now? Inch perfect free kick to give us back-to-back wins. One I thought potentially we'd screw up. Not the Rotherham one. And should have killed the game off then a little bit earlier as well. But and you can say we held on a little. We rode our luck with the ref at times. But yeah, it was It was more of a relief, this one. And the starters, despite Russell Martin hinting at changes, he decided to go unchanged from that Leeds win. And it was the first time that he's actually named an unchanged side. So, yeah, slightly surprised with that, Kev, or, you know, pleasantly surprised?
No, I did say that I kind of expected it. And you could see from the previous game that he was making substitutions, possibly to rest players so they could
Sulemana,
play against
yeah.
Stoke. Yes, Sulemana does bring to mind. So, yeah, not that much of a surprise.
I think it was the right choice to be able to slot everything in. We wanted to keep the consistency going, and we took the last opportunity with Leeds and was very successful with it. So why not just keep it going? We need to build some rhythm. We building need some success. And if the opportunity was there to just keep that going, don't need to rotate out and keep that same lineup.
Okay. I mean, I did expect a couple of changes, but not ones that are going to completely.
As Rasmus Angerson doesn't say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I did expect to see some changes, if I'm being honest, but not only minor tweaks, just, like for like, really, just to give them a little bit of extra rest. But it didn't happen. I wasn't upset with it. I thought, OK, I was just a little bit surprised. But yeah, pleasantly surprised, I would say. But so how did you feel the game went then? Because our performance, I mean, yeah, you have to look at it. We won, got the 3 points. Russell Martin said, and I quote, "We were great." No, I don't think we were. I mean, it was a professional performance, but I wouldn't say we were great. It wasn't comfortable at times.
I think we needed to do what we needed to get done. We went in there, and it wasn't the prettiest game. It wasn't the most successful game. It wasn't the most dominant game. But to me, when I think of the slog of the championship, you go away from home midweek, again, and with the meme of with a cold Tuesday night in Stoke, we were able to do it and came out with it. So I'm going to look back on it in 3 months and say, well, we did it midweek and it wasn't pretty, but 3 points, walked away, and I'll take it. So when I think he's pampering them up and saying that we were fantastic, I wish he would came out and said, we went through the slog, we did it, on to the next one. We're going to just keep the churn going. We're just going to keep it moving.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said it was great.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Say it was uncomfortable at times. It wasn't exactly a brilliant watch. But Kev, Sulemana put in another good performance. And he also, you know, he started against Rotherham. He obviously came off against them as well, because I think Russell Martin had said that he was, you know, he was all out of energy. He was never going to start him, never going to play him for the 90 minutes against Rotherham, but he did put in a good performance against Stoke, and he was given Kajani Hoover at right back so many issues. I mean, he's always willing to take. It's not just him; it's all right backs. He's going to give them a lot of problems, and Hoover had a really difficult time. I think he picked up a yellow, didn't he, quite early? But yeah, Sulemana had him every time, and it's another example right there that we should have killed the game off. You've got someone as dominant as Sulemana against a defender that's all over the place, and we still couldn't pick them apart.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the key battles. He definitely dominated that wing. Again, say the same thing against Rotherham. That didn't really come to anything. He created so much, but the outcome, not scoring a goal from open play. It was kind of unexpected, to be honest.
We're not doing enough. And I think if we had scored a second goal just after halftime, perhaps, maybe, just to stamp our authority on the game a little bit more, then I would have said, yeah, really, really good performance. We did what we had to do, but it was just kind of limped over the line, didn't we? But the goal, though, Stuart Armstrong, what a beauty. That was great. Really, really good.
Yeah, I mean, we were kind of unsure who was going to take over set piece duties after Ward-Prowse left. And it's kind of been rotating between a few. I mean, we've seen both Armstrong's taken and Smallbone's taken a few, hasn't he?
Manning, Alcaraz, yeah.
Yeah, it's been going on. So I think, you know, after that, maybe Stu's cemented his place as our set piece taken.
I hope so. And he was on corner duty at Rotherham as well. So, yeah, that was... Hopefully. But then again, he's not always going to play, is he? So, but yeah, Tim, we did have help from the referee. They had a penalty claim. Jan Bednarek bringing down Nathan Lowe. Penalty for you?
Yeah. We got lucky with that one. So just gonna say thanks for whomever slipped the 20-pound bill in the referee's pocket.
Yeah, not that cheap. Jesus.
Kev, penalty for you? Any complaints?
Yeah, at the time it did seem like a penalty. I've tried to find a replay, but I can't find anything. I even looked at Stoke City's highlights of the match. You'd think that they'd include that to push the narrative that they will have done by, but not couldn't find anything. So yeah, I mean, I guess
have you tried the Twitter hashtag SCFC? Because you'll probably get a few things there.
Ah, I didn't think about that. Mm. Yeah,
I reckon there'll probably be banging on. I mean, they were talking about the refs right after the game. I wanted to join that hashtag just to anonymously, of course, just to see what was going on. But we were helped out with the ref a little bit further as well, because he took out Walter Berger at one point as well, didn't he? Did you see that? He collided with the ref and they obviously had to stop play. And
I mean, I suppose it really should have been predictable, but it was a very physical kind of scrappy game. There's a lot of rucks happening throughout. Loads of yellow cards being thrown about.
It did get quite chippy, didn't it, towards the end? Yeah, 5 yellow cards, I think, in total. Carried on at the whistle as well, didn't it?
Yeah. I don't really understand what started it, but it really kicked off, didn't it?
I've heard some rumours. I don't know if it's true, but apparently, I mean, someone had said something nasty, let's say, to Carlos Alcaraz. That's what started it, apparently. That's what I've heard. So
did you say the Falklands are British?
maybe he didn't. Yeah, he that's what I've heard anyway. He said something to Alcaraz, and you could see by Alcaraz's reaction. I mean, we were walking off the pitch, we won the game, there was no reason to go and, you know, stir anything up with them. So it was clearly come from Stoke's end. But I love it, because they asked Russell Martin at the end of the game what was going on, and he said, "I don't know. I didn't get involved because Wesley is huge."
Yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah, but we had 10 minutes of added time, Tim, because Ben Wilmot was colliding with the post, wasn't he, after that Sulemana shot? That looked nasty. Stats suggest that it was comfortable. I mean, we conceded just 2 shots on target, no real big chances, but it was more of a case of what could have been. And I don't know, Alex Neil also felt that, you know, free kicks should have been given to Stoke. But Tim, from Stoke's point of view, I think they feel like this was, you know, points that they could have had here.
Yeah, I think they should have expected, or at least from the run of play with everything going on, that a draw was the appropriate outcome. But they got unlucky with a number of different things. Yes, the Berger got taken out by the referee. I thought that was hilarious, because if you take a look and see how he goes through, it looks like he just got he just got picked off. Like, he just completely does a full dive, but he all of a sudden his body flails down and looks like he's it looks like he honestly, it looks like he got shot and as he was running at you. So
well worth the £20, wasn't it? It was definitely worth it.
That extra little hip check for him. But besides that, there's a lot of things. I think they should have all in all, they should have gotten the penalty. If they would have converted it, it would have been 1-1. And I don't think we would have been able to convert anything further. I think we were ho-hum, especially in the second half. We've kind of settled in, as we saw with the Rotherham game. We need to have have constant attack and a constant movement. Whereas we feel that I almost feel like we're regressive. So lucky to take the 1-0 win. Definitely will be happy to take the clean sheet. But it could have been better. It could have been better.
Again, we should have taken the chances that we got, you know, that obviously weren't as many as against Rotherham, but I think this is the most nervous I've felt when we've been in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, not that goal was particularly early on, but, you know, we had about an hour of can we kill the game or can we get another? Are we going to set ourselves up to concede? Yeah, I was very nervous for that second half. But, good hard-fought win.
Yeah, that was we were 10th from the table down on 16 points, rather. That was 5 wins, 4 losses and a draw. Kev, do you have any stats from this game?
Yeah, quite a few. We did have the majority of possession. Yeah, 58%. 9 shots to their 15.
Wow.
Which is kind of surprising. 4 shots on target to their 2.
Yeah, see, they didn't really test Bazunu, did they? So they're saying that they feel hard done by the referee decisions. But yeah, they didn't really test us. They had 15 shots, but I don't remember half of them. And the ones that were important weren't really testing Bazunu. So they did it to themselves a little bit.
Pretty much. What else do you want?
XG. That should be a fun one.
Yeah. it's 0.7 for Stoke and 0.9 for Saints.
Yeah. Wow, that's not surprising, is it? Only 58% possession as well. Not an awful lot. But then, you know, you're going away from home. Still dominating the possession. Not as much as we did against Rotherham. But again, if you're not going to score the goals, then it makes no difference whatsoever. Russell Martin, then, he said, I thought we were great. Really good to follow up on the effort we put in on Saturday against another really good team. I'm really proud of the boys and really grateful to them. We built up so well in the first half, but it kept breaking down in the final third. Where have we heard that before? Mm-hmm. In transition, we were really good. Flynn was monstrous today, and it has been the Flynn we know in the last 2 games. He's been outstanding. We should have killed the game. We had some incredible chances too. We had to show both sides of the game tonight, and we did that. I'm really pleased for Gavin Bazunu and the back four, for everyone. It was a real team effort for the clean sheet. I mean, he could have been talking about any game, really, couldn't he? The Rotherham game as well. And going on to that then, with...
not with a clean sheet.
Well, no, that's true, yeah. With the Flynn Downs monstrous performance echoing in your ears, Tim, who was your man of the match?
The referee.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I wanted to give it to him too. I really did.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought Benarek was actually absolutely fantastic, but because he did that, the little rugby tackle on him, I don't want to be able to give Benarek the shout out. I did think Flynn Downs was fantastic as well. I thought that the defense, because we were able to hold in and solidify, and I didn't feel too scared of it was good. But let's give where appropriateness is deserved, and with the clean sheet, with all the shit that he gets, I'm going to go with Gavin Bazunu.
Oh, okay.
I thought that Bazunu was going to be a bit of a left field choice. So I was going to do my stereotypical left field choice, and because it's been so long since we've had a clean sheet, and Bazunu, he's been mentioned when we've been talking about our favourite players and performances for each match, but never really been given the accolade of man of the match. So since Tim's done that, I can look elsewhere. And Russell Martin does like to big him up. But I thought Flynn Downs, disappointing at the beginning of the season, but I thought against Stoke, it's probably the best game I've seen him play in the Saints shirt. Well, I'll give honourable mentions to Bednarik and Harwood Bellis, but they were good at shoring up the defence. And Sulemana, exciting on that wing, really kicking Hoover's bum. But ultimately, nothing came from it. Stuart Armstrong's got a goal. So it's strange that I won't give it to him. But like I said, I want to go a bit left field. So I'm going to agree with Russell Martin and give it to Flynn.
Ah, okay. Well, I really wanted to give it to Stu because... well, why not? Because of the goal. But I don't think he had the greatest of starts to the game, to be honest. I think he gave the ball away quite a bit. And I thought, oh, my goodness, he's not having a good game here. But, the free kick was just excellent. Flynn Downs was good, as you and Russell Martin has said. But I don't know. I'm going to give it to one of the defensive core because I think they were key in it. I'm going to give it to Taylor Harwood-Bellis because I think this was his best performance.
Not the only beat.
No, well, as Tim said, the rugby tackle for the penalty was unforgivable, really, and he got away with it. I mean, if we had had VAR that game, then everyone would be criticising Jan Bednarek for that mistake, because it was a mistake. He shouldn't have done that. But we got away with it. So I'm going to give it to the other one, because I thought Harwood Bellis was brilliant. No mistakes for the second game running for him. And I think, he's just settling in nicely. Oh, well. I mean, he did give the ball away.
We'll get onto Rotherham in a bit.
For the Rotherham game. But at the time I thought, he's got all his mistakes, out of the way. A brilliant performance. So I'm going to give it to him while we know we're going to, turn around against him in the Rotherham game. But, Taylor Harwood-Bellis for me. And going on to that Rotherham game, very frustrating. I mean, it was just awful. I remember, the people next to me had already left. I think they left as soon as the Rotherham goal went in. And when the whistle went, I found myself punching the seat next to me in anger. I don't do that. Oh. I was so angry. And but obviously the second half was marred massively by the fan who collapsed. That was really distressing. And I don't know if you guys saw what was going on at all, but it was right behind me. Couldn't concentrate on the game after that. It was just so horrible. Big shout out to the Victor Johansson in the Rotherham net, who tried to get the game stopped because the ref wouldn't do it, but was told to get back on with it. Nasty. And I've heard that he was revived and he was taken to hospital. So I hope he's doing okay. The game itself, it was 1-1, another goal from Stuart Armstrong. Very much different type of goal than the Stoke one. Just right place at the right time to pounce on a rebound. But we were pegged back in the 74th minute from Jordan Hugill with a lovely lob on Gavin Bazunu. But the starters and changes then. So he took the same 18, the same 18 that he took to Stoke. The only change was Shea Adams back in the 11 with Alcaraz taking a seat. We did expect more changes perhaps, but was this surely just for a rest for him? I mean, what was his thinking here, Kev?
I mean, that's the only thing that I would assume would be right. And maybe a bit surprising that he's brought Shea in out of doldrums. But he has to play at some point, doesn't he?
He does. Well, after that, I don't know if he does. But Tim, were you surprised with the re-inclusion of Shea?
That wasn't that bad.
No, not really. I think that they felt instead of that false nine with Charlie, they wanted more a progressive number nine. So Adams is naturally going to sit higher up the pitch.
That didn't work, though, did it?
What's the old Mike Tyson adage? Everything goes out the window. Every plan you have goes out the window when you get punched in the mouth. Well, every plan that you have goes out the window when all of a sudden you're one goal up and you're now Russell Martin telling everybody to sit back and just play possession game. That's not what we should have done, and it seemed like we did. So to me, I think that the early goal did throw everything off. But it didn't work overall because we weren't being progressive enough up the field. The heat map shows that we are way too much in the middle of the field, and I don't think that was able to get to Adams' strength, despite the fact that he got that first shot on the post, and then Stu Armstrong came in and solidified and came through.
Yeah, Kev, while we're on Shay, I want to talk to him and discuss his role, because there were plenty
Should
of people.
Should we give him a
call? let's do it. There's plenty of people not happy with him being included, walking up to the stadium. A lot of them are saying, why is he in? What's he done to warrant a place in this side? Doesn't look like he wants to be here. I don't want to say that he's uninterested, but that's the way it looked. I mean, aside from the header that went off the post, did he do anything else of note? Was there anything that you remember him doing that was really worthy?
He was doing a job in the goal mouth. He did manage to get a header off from the free kick just before half time that Johansson managed to put off one of a number of wonder saves, clearly. Yeah, I mean, he had some decent touches. That little back heel to Kyle Walker-Peters, that was really cute. Dharma, when he had a shot, Sulemana kind of cuts the ball back to him from the from the goal line. And, Adam Armstrong pulls off a shot, forces a save from Johansson. But that's Shea was right next to him, and he could have kind of... that might have been enough to put him off. If he'd just cut it across to Shea and Shea stick it home. But anyway, he'd probably stick it in row Z. So, I understand the feeling, like sometimes that he does look a bit lazy, like his heart's not in it. But, you know, I think maybe that's just a bit of a stereotypical view we've got of him because of the situation with the transfer window, that we get the impression that he doesn't want to stay here. So we look for things that sort of back that up rather than looking at what he does bring to the side. And, you know, I mean, I can perfectly understand the logic against Stoke. We didn't really have a proper striker, really. I mean, Adam Armstrong, yes, he was in the team, but Russell Martin seems to prefer to play him out on the wing. Rather than, you know, up front in the box. So I think it just adds an extra dimension. And, you know, if we'd have been more accurate in that first half and made the most of the chances that we did have, we should have just absolutely destroyed them. I mean, I thought it would be, after Stu gets that goal after a couple of minutes, I thought it was going to be absolute bloodbath.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, so did I. I was really uncomfortable. Rubbing my hands
half
together.
Half an hour, we were like, fuck me, they're going to absolutely tear him to pieces. But, their manager, very, very smart move from Matt Taylor. He kind of senses that something's wrong. Well, I have to say sense. It's pretty fucking obvious that there's something wrong there. But that he could have something to do about it. So makes a substitution at the half-hour mark, switches to five at the back, and that threw us off a bit, and we didn't really make anything at all. And then in the second half, he makes a triple substitution to change back to a more attacking formation because he thinks, right, you know, we've managed to stay in it. They haven't roped the boat us at 1-0. We're still in the game. Let's try and get something out of it. And straight away, that little opportunity, that tiny little window, that little postage stamp of opportunity opens up. And, they make the most of it. I mean, the extra G must have been in the hundreds of thousandths of a bit of a percent for Rotherham. But, they've come all over the point.
Sickening when you think of it like that. But yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. And just on Shay a little bit, something that came into my mind, like when he got subbed off in the 86th minute, I think, yeah, it was Mara, wasn't it, in the 86th minute. And it was 1-1. We were desperate for a goal that we deserved, or thought we deserved. He came off the pitch and he didn't even seem frustrated. He was clapping and he was smiling as if everything was fine. Now, I've seen strikers go off and things haven't gone their way and they look utterly miserable to be taken off. But I don't know, maybe it's like you said, Kev, that we're looking for things that, because of this this noise about him moving on, I'm just looking for excuses to blame him. I'm not blaming him. I just think, yeah, I might be reading a little bit too much into it, but I don't think that he had his best game. And I don't think he deserved to be playing in that side. But, I mean, I'd love to hear from the fans regarding Shay Adams.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't really know what it means for him now, because does he still want to be here? I mean, when Ross Stewart finally gets back into the team, I mean, or say back, when he gets into the team, is Shay going to be forced to take a seat? Is he going to try and find a way to play him both? I don't think he can.
They're going to get a bit of competition involved, see if that improves
him. Spices him up a bit. Yeah, maybe. I mean, I mean, if he does want to leave, he's not really doing a great job in selling himself, but I mean, there we are.
I think that he had the most headers of the game, and then he was also able to win by headers. He was able to win the most aerials, and he had the most amount of shots for us. So despite that, it felt like he wasn't necessarily or heavily involved. The stats might say otherwise. So I think he was the right choice. I think it was the right fit because of Rotherham. Taken back nature, but when they're playing a 5-4-1 or a 4-5-1, when they made that first half substitution, to me, we should have attacked and gone more and gone through Adams more. But I think that they, I should give them a little bit of credit for their ability to sit back and ultimately neutralize him after they made that substitution.
Yeah, and Kev said it was good management. That is good. Brilliant. You know, you just stopping us from doing what we wanted to do. And the goal, the early one, Stuart Armstrong again, Kyle Walker-Peters danced into the box. Brilliant little cross for Shea, who hit the post, and then Stu to turn in the rebound. Second game, well, second home game in a row where we've took the lead in the opening 2 minutes. But yeah, great start and no worries. And something that Kev said about he thought it was going to be a DOS, really. It looked like it was going to be very comfortable. Silamana had one saved by Johansson, and Adam Armstrong flicked in that second. My goodness, that would have been brilliant, wouldn't it? That would have been, you know, goal of the month straight away. But again, you know, offside. And all the possession, Kevin.
Just offside,
yeah. All the possession. I don't know what it was at halftime, but it must have been in the 80s, but we just couldn't put the game to bed. And then I don't even know what happened in the second half. It was never going anywhere. It was so frustrating. And I guess this is on Matt Taylor, isn't it? Just limiting our chances.
When the stats came up at half time, I was in shock. I mean, they were just insane. I should have screenshotted them or something.
But you were comfortable that from those stats in the second half, going into the second half, that we were probably going to win this game 3-0 or 4-0. You know, the second half onslaught was going to come, but it didn't.
No, I thought, you know, with the chances we got and, I mean, their keeper, I mean, right from the outset, I mean, just save after save after save. I mean, just superhuman. And I thought that we were really unfortunate to be just 1-0 up at half time and for Rotherham to still be in the game. You know, it's just a combination of luck, great performance from the keeper, and we can't really blame the players because the other chances were there. It's just didn't really go their way. So, yeah, at that point, at half-time, yeah, I was fine. I thought it was going to be 2-0, just like my prediction, that we'll get that second goal, and then Rotherham won't know what to do after that. But yeah, the longer it dragged on, the more nervous I got, and then that goal just came completely out of nowhere, didn't it?
It did, and
absolutely nothing.
I was not nervous at all, because I thought, you know, even if we just hang on for a 1-0, it's not going to be what we want, but we'll still get the 3 points, and yeah, we'll move on. But yeah, Rotherham had 2 shots on target, and that was the first one, the one that mattered. Jordan Hugill lobbing Bazunu. Taking advantage of a poor clearance from THB. It was a good hit, wasn't it? It was a good goal, but it was just a little bit deflating against the run of play. And it gave them a boost after that as well, because they got their second shot on target just after, and it forced a top save from Bazunu. But, I mean, that goal, was it Bazunu out of position? Was Taylor Howard-Bellis just, you know, panicking with a clearance? I mean, all of the above?
Yes. Bazunu shouldn't have been out that far. I recognize why he wanted to be able
to be... Just relaxed, wasn't he? Just so relaxed because he hadn't had anything to do.
Yeah. I think that it was just a mental breakdown. He was sitting back there and, I mean, I've been a keeper for a long time and playing against a team where you're not doing, you know, you're not in the game, you're not in the zone. I think it was just a breakdown that's a little bit of it's luck to Rotherham, but then it's also poor by design and poor by action on our side. So, yeah, you said run of play. That's exactly what they did when they made that tactical change, and we're just hoping for that counter, and we're opening up to it, and any chance that they could get, they're going to take, and luck fell their way to get that first goal.
Yeah.
Did he need to be off this line?
No.
At that point. So I don't understand it at all.
No, he didn't. That's what I'm saying. It was just a complete loss in concentration, I guess. Just sort of wandering. Yeah, it's there was lots of head shaking and lots of disbelief because it was against the run of play. It was just like, what has happened here? We can't throw this away now. But you know, there was still time to go and do something about it, and it never happened. And Kev, I want to discuss these stats now, because it wasn't even close, was it? And how can you have these stats and only come away with a point against a side who hasn't picked up anything on the road.
Like we said, just poor luck, really. So, yeah, we had 80% possession even at full time. Can't believe that. Yeah, 22 shots to their four. Of those, we had 10 shots on target. Like you said, they only had two. One of note. We had almost 1,000 touches, again, 986.
Not surprising. Those passes are nearly up in the 1,000 as well, I imagine.
800 passes, yeah. So, yeah, great. Just every statistic you can imagine, we just absolutely dominate. And apart from the defensive stats, obviously, for some rather than on the defensive front, most of what they were doing. But
The score line as well, that's the big one.
Yeah, three big chances, 88 progressive passes, and where's the XG for this thing?
I don't even want to know the XG.
I mean, it's going to be about, 3.6 to 0.4 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine.
So, 3.0 for us and 0.1 for them. I wasn't far off on it, so it was sweeping, but a thousandth. Yeah.
0.1, yeah, incredible. Yeah, there was obvious anger and booing at the whistle. And Russell Martin, Tim, was approached by an angry fan and he said something to him. And I have what he said in an interview. But he said, yeah, a guy at the end booing and going absolutely crazy, one of our supporters. I understand there's frustration when you've just watched a dominant performance and not won. But I'm not sure the players deserve that vitriol. So I said something to him. I think it's important to recognise it's been a good week. So, Tim, there's a fine line, though, isn't there? I mean, everything's rosy in the first half. We're looking likely to make it 9 points from nine. You know, the Alcaraz contract, the Alcaraz call-up, things are on top. You know, we're on the up. One shot from Rotherham and suddenly the week has been a disaster. And, you know, I'm so glad that we record like a solid 20 hours after the game because, as I say, I was seething after that. And let's take a look at, Leeds, Stoke away and Rotherham. You take 4 points there, right? Not in the way that we did, but, this point just takes away our brilliant Leeds win, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, if you want to flip-flop it and say Leeds was, if we drew against Leeds and then we beat Stoke and we beat Rotherham, great. But it's not living up to what our potential is, and that's the problem. Absolutely. So to me, the potential and the necessary requirement is to beat Rotherham. And that's why it feels deflating to draw against Rotherham in comparison against beating Leeds. To me, I said last week, if we got anything ahead of, looking back in the season, if we thought we were going to at least draw Leeds or get any result, I would have taken it. Great.
Yeah, and speaking of the fans, what their expectations are, there's an Instagram quote that we got, Kev, that I want to read to you, and I want to know what you have to say about this, because I agree with a lot of stuff that this guy said. One of the comments on Instagram, it's from Macy J12. Okay, so he says, he or she, I don't know, they are still playing with the handbrake on. Bizarre style of play, too much one touch. Back to the centre-backs. He's ruining a good squad of players who should be bossing the league. I've cancelled my season ticket after 15 years because of him. I can't handle the frustration. He's trying to reinvent the wheel and comes out with more rubbish post-match each week, on a par with Jones's nonsense. The Swansea fans also say it was backwards and sideways with no end product. It's criminal with this squad. I was at Stoke and the same there. We've got this far on two last-minute winners away, two penalties against Norwich, a free kick against Stoke, and a lucky rebound off the post yesterday. I've got better things to do with my time, but I'm fuming. So, very, very angry person that's cancelled his season ticket, but he has got a point. I mean, I agree with a lot of it because that's why I wanted to read it out. But, I mean, firstly, this is a good squad on paper, right? I mean, is it wrong of Russell Martin to want to play the way that he is with the directness and, the creativity that we potentially have? I mean, these young, aggressive play types like Solomana Adozie, Amo Amayar, Stuart Armstrong, Charlie Alcaraz, Brian Fraser, Kyle Walker-Peters. And yet we're playing, with Smallbone, Downs, Charles, in a style that suits them more so. It clearly doesn't suit our back line either, because, playing with our handbrake is right in that sense, not giving these players a chance to be at their best.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, the handbrake on. I mean, we saw against Leeds what can happen when you set up a squad that can play aggressively, and they when they do play aggressively. And we've got now the same squad, but they've kind of slipped back into those old ways that we saw. Yeah, towards the beginning of the season, where we'll just try and, you know, pass it back and then sideways and back again, slowly trying to build up. And it doesn't work, especially not against teams like Rotherham. And especially when they spot an opportunity to park the bus a bit and frustrate us. And it works, you know, if we'd have gone all guns blazing in that second half, we would have come away with 3 points. But yeah, like I said, just that really slow build up, it just doesn't work with those players at all.
Doesn't work for the fans either. Surely he's got to take the fans' thoughts into account as well a little bit.
You know, yeah,
if there's a good percentage of the fan base that are saying that they don't like the way he plays, not just the Saints fans but the Swansea fans as well, they're saying that, you know, this was his issues. Still being stubborn in the fact that he's just not playing to the strength of the players that we have. He's playing his style, we haven't got the players to play his style yet. Not entirely, he's only got a few of them. But again, it's going to take time, isn't it?
I don't agree with that.
No,
I agree with that. I think all the players there, he's brought in players that to do this. Manning and Downs have come in. Charles fits that system finally. You know, he's got the players to do whatever he wants. So this is, you say it's a good team on paper. It's a good championship team. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
But Preston Martin's not doing himself any favours at all. I mean, that run of four games, I mean, he was quite close to losing his job. If we were sat here talking about, you know, taking 0 points out of those last three games, then that might be it for him. You know? But he's bought himself some time. And it's just such a silly way, you know.
Backwards, yeah.
Yeah, we take that game 1-0, nobody would have said anything. We got the job done, fine. But yeah, now he's in hot water again. And just another run of disappointing results or losses. It's not going to be good. A bit of a knee-jerk reaction to cancel your season ticket, because it's still quite early on in the season. Anything can happen.
Yeah, it is early. But Tim, on the pointing out on the manner of, you know, how we've had our victories, like the, you know, we've got two penalties against Norwich. We've got two last minute winners for whatever, you know, they've got the free kick against Stoke, got a lucky one off the post yesterday. I mean, I think that's a little bit unfair, because you can always say that about any team, right? I mean, they only won this week because of that penalty or because of VAR decision or whatever. I think we have to take notice that in most of these games we've won, it's because we put in brilliant defensive performances as well to allow us to get those points. I mean, I noticed that he didn't mention any of the brilliant performance against Leeds. There were pieces of magic from Armstrong in that game that just went unnoticed. So that there are, you know, even when we're winning games ugly, there are still strong points in the game.
I just don't think we're living up to our expectations. We expect that we should be in the playoffs at a minimum right now. And our goal difference is absolute trash, thanks to a few drubbings there by Leicester and Sunderland. So to me, what's frustrating is we are not matching where we should be at. Mm-hmm. And so while you can take the little victories and you can push through like a game against Stoke and just run with it, we'll take the clean sheet away, I'll take it. We need to be better than we were against Rotherham. I feel like it's frustrating because it just seems very passive in connection with then the result. So we got to push ahead. We got to look ahead, because, you know, the next three games, four games, I mean, these are top mid to top level of the table teams. You got Hull, Preston, Birmingham, Millwall. Anything is a crapshoot in the championship. And if we play passive, just like we did against Rotherham, we're going to get nicked one way or the other.
Yeah, you say it's a crapshoot. It really, really is, isn't it? I mean, Middlesbrough going to Stadium of Light yesterday and putting four against them, something that they did to us. So, you know, it's all over the place. But Russell Martin said, we should have been out of sight before Rotherham even scored. It's really frustrating. We were so good in the first half and we should be 3-0 up. We have paid for the lack of ruthlessness. After the delay in the game, we didn't come out in the second half with enough intensity. We were still in control, but we didn't create enough. It's frustrating. He shouldn't have had that effort. It shouldn't have come to that. It's been a good week, but the overriding feeling is frustration and anger that we haven't won the game. Yeah, I agree. Everything he said there. Man of the match. Okay, I'll go. I don't even know who I went. Oh, no, I do know who I went for. Yeah. Kyle Walker-Peters was good, I thought. I thought you're very progressive. I don't know if you've got any stats on him, Kev. You know, the midfield was basically turning back on the play and passing backwards and all that. But, I mean, he set up that first goal. He did brilliant with that. It didn't really do anything wrong. He attacked when I guess we needed him to. But, I mean, I'm going to give it to Stuart Armstrong because I thought he was all over the place when he did play. And if you check his position at the start of the goal, you see where he finished from start to finish. I thought, yeah, perfect. He was all over the place. And say he was on corner duties yesterday. And I think if you weigh up both of those games and the goals that he scored as well, he's certainly the player of the week. So I think it's only fair that we have to give him a player of the match. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The goal against Stoke, not only did he score that wonderful free kick, but to mention that he was one that won it in the first place. Mm. And the same thing here against Rotherham. He sets up that goal at the beginning and then, yeah, managed to sort of find the decent position in the box so that when, yeah, Adams does hit the post, he gets the rebound. And, yeah, like you said, just a great performance all round. So, yeah, he gets my vote too.
Oh, you're giving it to him as well.
Yeah.
That's good. It's also as well, as soon as he come off the field, Rotherham scored. So.
that's true. I haven't thought about it like that.
Yeah. He's on the sheets. Actually, he wasn't in the team a lot when we were losing in those four in a row. So maybe that's the key. Put Stuart Armstrong in and we win the game. Tim, who's your man of the match?
Well, we didn't really touch on him too much in the Rotherham game. Kaladin Sulemana had only three dribbles compared to when he absolutely just destroyed Kijana Hoover. So, you know, I bypassed him and thinking he wasn't necessarily that great. I wanted to be able to congrats to him against the Rotherham. I think also he is just an absolute fiend, an absolute just pace merchant, and which is something you can easily thrive and be successful in. And had a couple good shots as well here. Once again, Stuart Armstrong, absolutely fantastic. I think he's the cog, not the cog in the wheel, but basically the linchpin, and he's there to help support, bring everything together. He's got the old man mentality now, unfortunately, even though he's only 31. But to me, love the guy. He'll be my next jersey, next kit that I'll get is Stuart Armstrong. So he's the man of the match for me.
That's excellent. And three man of the matches as well automatically puts him in contention for player of the month as well. So there we go. Hull then. We got an international break before we play Hull, but we are going to do this preview and get our predictions in before. So, yeah, so it's Hull on Saturday, the 21st of October, 3 o'clock kickoff from the MKM Stadium. Tim, your nickname?
The Tigers.
The Tigers. Kevin, do you have a nickname?
What can we call them?
The Halloween Fan Club.
The Halloweeners, yeah. The Windass Wanderers.
The Windass one. There we go. We got one. Tim, your Hull City preview. Take it away.
Yeah. Apathetic FC, more like it, since we just couldn't figure out what's going on with them. So, story of the team. One of the most erratic teams over the last 30 years. I mean, they've had some really trouble that they've had. They've almost gotten relegated to the National League in 1998, and all the way they've even finished very high in the Premier League, the 2014 FA Cup final, and with European football there. So some stints all the way down to League Two, all the way up to the Premier League. So most recently, they've had some serious ownership fiascos with the Allen family. There's some significant unrest, especially in 2016. When they got promoted, and Steve Bruce did probably his best managerial job out there, they got promoted with some massive issues. But recently they've gotten some new owners who have really solidified and didn't piss off the fan like when they tried to change the team to the Hull City Tigers as the actual name rather than just keep it as Hull City. So that's a fun little drama to be able to go back and look on if you ever get the chance. But currently right now in the last 2 years, they've maintained a low to mid-table presence in the championship, last year finishing 15th, which is about where they should have been at. They didn't really look like they were going to get relegated at all, but they didn't think they were going to massively thrive or push for those promotion places. So this year they've had a really, really strong start, but they've tapered off in the last four or five games or so. So they currently sit in ninth place, just above us on goal difference, and they're at +2, whereas we're at -4. So even if we drew them next week or in 2 weeks, we are not going to be able to go past them at all. The one highlight, Alfie Jones. He is a former Southampton player and has been a cog in, well, a linchpin in their defense. Over 100 starts for them in the last since he left Southampton. So I want to be able to let him know, and he's really good in terms of like a proper championship level. And to me, I think he's going to be one of their defensive players to look out for. But really want to highlight their new transfers, and a lot of them have been very impactful in a positive way. So Jaden Philogene, he's big money signing from Aston Villa, was right around 5 million euros, so like 4.5 million pounds. Couldn't find anything on if there was a sell-on clause, but he came in right at towards the end of the window, and it's been one of, if not their best players. So take a look out for him. He's out there on the left side, left wing, left midfield. He's been really good. Additionally, some of the new transfers and on loan, they've got a few players here to look out for. So Liam Diop, obviously a very famous name, has been fairly successful for them and has been a really, really, really good player. And I think he's got a lot of potential and reminds me a lot of Patrick Bamford in his successful days.
He's got a very, very famous dad as well. He used to play for the Saints. So big shout out to Rory.
Yeah. how are his throw-ins?
Yeah, Rory Delap, famous for his long throws. Yeah. I think if you have a look at any single picture of Rory Delap, you'll see him like wiping the ball in his shirt. Or that, with his hands behind his back, with the ball at the back of his neck.
Saw a Twitter compilation recently of Rory Delap's assists from throw-ins, and it's just incredible.
Yeah.
It's just supernatural.
He was our record signing as well, wasn't he, for a long time? £4 million in 2001. He was a long, I actually think he's got, on his Wikipedia page, he's got a section that says throw-ins. So, yeah, go and read it. Anyway, this is his son we're talking about, so yeah.
Couple other really good players on loan, Scott Twine coming in from Burnley, Tyler Morton coming in from Liverpool, and then Ruben Vinagre, who was previously with Wolves.
Vinagre,
thank you. Now on loan from Sporting CP. And then there was a sign, Aaron Connolly, who in Brighton's days from the last few years, they signed him for a very low fee. But so a lot of impactful transfers who have made a significant difference and have started a lot of games. The other two players not to take a look at who haven't been signed this past year is Ozan Tufan and Jean-Michel Siri. Fairly famous names, especially Siri there with the Fulham, but also bouncing around and has been quite successful and found his home really with Hull. So while they had a very hot start, the last five games have been a little more ho-hum. They've finally regressed to probably where they should be at. They drew Millwall 2-2, lost to Ipswich 3-0, drew Plymouth 1-1, beat Stoke 3-1, drew Leeds 0-0. So that's most recent going backwards. Taking a look, tactics. Liam Resin... And is it
Resinha? Resinha.
Resinha.
There you go.
I think he's actually a really good coach, taking a look back, and he's been able to do pretty well. Very malleable when it comes to his formation. So last five games, nothing has started the same. 3-4-3, 4-3-4-2-3-1. He's bounced back and forth based on the players that he had with a few injuries. He's very cool and a calm manager, and When he's worked for Sky Sports, I think for a long time there, he's really good with the media. So listen to a few of his press conferences. He's very well spoken. So I like that from a manager like Russell Martin, although I feel like he's a little too nice along the way. So strengths, looking ahead, Philogene, great signing. Twine and Delap have individual ability that can shine at any time, so look out for them. And with their outside of the last two games, with five goals let in the last two, they've really let in very few goals. So it was, you know, it's basically, you know, less than a goal a game at that. And if they can get back to that, if they can get past the two most recent games with Millwall and Ipswich, their defense could be pretty Star Wolf. Weaknesses, I think they are regressing to the mean. Like I said, they're maybe a mid-table team, maybe a little bit higher. And I feel like there's a potential for them to be complacent. Mm-hmm. So to us, I think that it could be, you know, coming ahead predictable, unpredictable, because this is the level in which, it's right in that threshold of people who are potentially at our level, can be all over the place. When it comes to the prediction, you know, I don't think it's unpredictable, just like the rest of the championship. And with us in our Discord group, I think you're going to see predictions from everyone. For me, you know, taking a look at it, last time we came off an international break, we got destroyed by Leicester. And what's going to happen? What are we going to take a look at? Anything that can happen, especially with their quality.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to see a lot back and forth on this one, where it's going to go. Just before I give my prediction, Kev, if you could pick one whole player to have as Saints player, who would you take?
Probably would take Liam Delap.
I was thinking that too, but he's a Man City player, isn't he? So are we allowed to do that?
That's part of the course for us, really, isn't it?
That's a good point. It's slot right in. Yeah, I don't want Alfie Jones back, but yeah. I suppose I see what you mean. My prediction. Yeah, Tim said it's really, I don't know where this is going to go. I completely agree with you, Tim. I do think that Hull, they started well and they were going to be a surprise package for me. I potentially picked them to be a playoff side, but I do think they're going to start falling off. But I just think that when anyone's on that bad run, I mean, you take a look at Middlesbrough, we seem to be the team that turns them around, and you know, Rotherham as well, and we give them, you know, so much confidence. And I think being at their place, I think having said that if it was at St Mary's, I think we'd probably go away with the 3 points. But I don't think we are being away from home. And if we are in a battle, close battle like that, we never seem to come out on top. So I'm going to go for a 1-1, second in a row for me. So, yeah, 1-1.
Yeah, I've got a similar feeling. I think that we're going to let in a couple of goals. I think maybe a 2-2 draw. I was in two minds whether it's going to be 1-1 or 2-2, but seeing as you've gone for 1-1, that might as well. Godfrey, no, Desmond.
This game has draw written all over it, but unpredictable. The unpredictable is the predictable, and I will take a 1-1 as well.
Tim's going for a 1-1 as well. Three draws. That breaks the cycle, doesn't it, a bit? Last two games, we've all gone win, draw, and a loss, but now we're all going the same. So, yeah. And on those results, so those are prediction results from our Discord then, so many of you going for Saints wins over Stoke. Only one person going for a 1-0, and that was Kurt Supple. So, yeah, nice one, Kurt. No one predicting a draw with Rotherham. Not very Slim Jim was the only one that went for a Rotherham win, but no one went for a draw. So, again, the only mover from the double game week is Kurt Supple. Tim Brucker still holds his lead on 20. That's 4 points ahead of Tony Mears. So, yeah, put your whole City predictions in when you can. You've got a fortnight to ponder it. You don't have to do it right away. But, yeah, there we are. Super 6. Round 10 was won by Colin Carter and Terry Lubbock on 12 points. Round 11 is still currently ongoing, waiting for Sunday's games. And the overall lead at the moment is Andrew Knight on 101. So fantasy football, then, how is it looking?
Let's take a look at the... I haven't actually checked in with my fantasy football this week.
Neither have I.
I have 40 points, 9 of which come from Jordan Pickford. I don't know what the fuck's happening there. Of course, City and Arsenal yet to play. Probably doesn't do me many favours in our Podders League. I've somehow jumped up the league into 6th. 1 point above Jack Serlison, 2 above Mikey Maidment. Tim is now top of the league.
Well done, Tim.
468. Slightly better on 45 so far, but I think he's got a few players yet to play. I'm just as a 63rd, Tim's 23rd, and Andy Williams is at the moment, the way things stand, I'll just refresh that now. Yeah, tied at the top, 482 points each for Andy Williams' Jota Clue and Chris Bonner's Livre Lavia Loca. Dan Buck, 1 point behind in third, and 1 point behind him is Brad S with his Brad's Lads on 480. Very tight in that top five. There's 6 points between them. So, yeah, it's getting tasty. I'm sorry, Tim. Tim's up to seventh. He's creeping up to the top spot. So, yeah, Tim.
Yeah, we'll wait for Haaland to get his hat trick today, and then he'll slip down again.
That'd be good. Although I've not captained my captain's son. You fucking idiot.
Oh well. It could be fine. I mean, who knows? Haaland could be sent off.
Yeah. I do have Haaland and Alvarez as well. So but they're just playing. They're just not his captain.
Yeah, Gaffer.
So Moscow Mush is ahead.
A wanker. Oh.
So lots of low scores this week, especially from there hasn't been really one standout player more than the other. If you did have Rowe in your team, he had nine. Dewsbury Hall is only, you know, only had three, and Ray had a really good week though with Pereira at 13 points. So he had the highest of the second highest of the week so far. Highest went to Connor Rickard, who has captain Joel Perreault at nine, alongside putting Broadhead in the lineup with the vice captain, so 15. So he's shooting up the ranks or shooting up the points, but not necessarily the ranks. And unfortunately, Sweet Baby Shea, Tim Brucker, played the home advantage, but only got 35 points, so it's kind of a probably disappointing from his side. For me, only had 38 as well. And taking a look at it, we've got 2 weeks off for the next games.
Yeah, okay. So next week, we got a nice week off, but we'll be back on the 22nd to talk about that whole game. And we'll have the two games to preview, Tim. The trip to Deepdale against Preston, and we welcome Birmingham City to St Mary's. So until then,
up
the
Saints.
Up the Saints.
Open at Southampton.
Sports Social Podcast Network.